Are tuned in to KBOO Portland 90.7 on your FM dial.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Wake up, KBOO listeners. It's time to support local, community-based media this fall by donating and becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give. When you contribute now up until September 21st, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $11,000 thanks to listeners like you. Double the impact, double the fun, so go now to kboo.fm/give.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
KBOO Community Radio's annual membership meeting and board of director elections will be held Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, located at 1300 Southeast Stark. Hello, I'm Joyce Nance. Welcome to the 2024 Board of Directors Candidate Forum. In just a few moments, you will hear from this year's candidates for KBOO Community Radio's Board of Directors. KBOO Community Radio is proudly supported by our community of listeners. To become a KBOO member and vote in the Board of Directors elections, go to kboo.fm/give. to make a donation of $20 or more dollars. KBOO is unique in that the Board of Directors is elected by its members. Every KBOO member gets to vote. Any KBOO member can apply to be on the Board of Directors. Online voting is now open at kboo.fm/board24. Online voting is open until the board elections on Saturday, September 21st. To request a paper ballot, you must contact KBOO. Call 503-231-8032 or email membership@kboo.org. You can mail your paper ballot or bring it to KBOO Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Paper ballots must be received at the station by Friday, September 20th at 5 p.m. Late ballots will not be counted. Candidate statements are posted on kboo.fm/board24. Election results will be announced at the annual meeting on Saturday, September 21st, 2024. Okay, let's get started. Our first candidate is Thomas Martinez. Welcome, Thomas. Question number one. Up to this point, how have you been involved with KBOO?
When the pandemic hit back in January of 2020, I was helping a KBOO DJ with their program, helping them build a home studio. I heard about the KBOO needing volunteers to record programs, and I thought of an idea to create a program that was community involved, giving back to the community. I became a member, and I took all the required classes remotely, and I started seeking out people in the recovery community and other people that were giving back to the community that way, and spoke with an outfit called Rock to Recovery. And I had done a press release with them through a treatment center that I was involved with. And I interviewed Jeremy from Rock to Recovery, started interviewing local bands and doing show review coverage for bands through KBOO. I interviewed gun violence activists, community outreach programs, and authors of self-help books, things like that. I did that for about 2.5 years. I would volunteer, so we would get the email for the monthly newsletter for KBOO DJs and hosts, and I would volunteer for specials like Juneteenth or for the Pride Month, and I would interview people on those shows as well. Getting involved with KBOO events, really. So after 2.5 years, I thought I'd see fit to enroll in the courses or the classes that are offered through KBOO to become a live DJ on the air. And when I started doing that, that really opened up a whole new avenue of experience, and started interviewing people live in the studio and picking up when there were slots that were open in the studio to come in and volunteer my time to go ahead and host and DJ a program on the air. We last year had the 55-year anniversary block party right there in front of KBOO. And, you know, I was asked by Jill to come on down and be stage manager for the event, and which ended up also being me emceeing the event as well, which was really fun to do. And but yeah, my personal experience with KBOO, I remember people talking about KBOO throughout my life, and it seemed very, very, very appealing to me to be a part of a radio station that was community involved, you know, community funded and listener powered. So yeah, it was just exciting to be a part of this whole thing that is KBOO, and I'm still learning, and you know, that's why I'm here, trying to expand my experience from my knowledge, from what I can offer my experience in life here in Portland to KBOO.
Here's a follow-up question for you. What is your understanding and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KBOO Radio?
KBOO represents the underrepresented and underserved community. KBOO provides access to the airwaves for people like myself who have basically a different outlook on the community. The fact that it is that members can vote on the board, anybody that is a member of KBOO can vote, is super cool. And, you know, KBOO focuses on the love and what brings our people together. And I believe that, you know, that's the way it started. That was the vision back in, I believe it was, 1964? you know, back then. But yeah, I think that vision has started. Yeah, KBOO, the vision in 1958, I believe, is still the same today here in 2024. And people like me, man, I came from that underserved community, and I chose to make a difference in my life. And, you know, a lot of that involved recovery community as well. And I think that voice is what KBOO is, very similar to recovery. So that's why I love being a part of it.
What is your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit boards of directors, advisory boards, or working committees?
Well, it's right here with KBOO, to be honest. I go to the monthly board meeting, which is last Monday, and anybody is welcome to that board meeting. It's open to the public. And I heard about the committees, such as engineering, financing, and development committee. And I'm learning on a daily basis as we go. It's a new avenue for me. But also, currently, I am a general secretary or representative for a group, for a recovery-based group that I'm a part of, and also for different subcommittees of the area here in Portland. So it's very similar. And my experience with that is obviously it's things like fundraising, planning and development, just like the planning work group committee here with KBOO. So it all kind of, I believe, is it translates. It translates from what I do currently also into what KBOO is doing.
One responsibility of KBOO's board of directors is to hire, oversee, and support the station manager. Do you have any experience in this?
I have sat with Nathan, the station manager here in the board meetings, and I see what is happening between, he's basically like a liaison between the board and KBOO. And I'm learning here now currently, and it's a wonderful opportunity to be a part of, to learn more about that.
KBOO's board supports fundraising activities and is responsible for the financial oversight of the KBOO Foundation. What is your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements?
Yes, I did work for a company called Gateway Communications here in Portland, Oregon. We did fundraising for the Portland Rescue Mission, rescue missions all across the United States. That also included Salvation Army. We did lots of fundraising for ASPCA, Mercy Ships, and food pantries across the nation. So basically professional fundraising on a level that is something that I know a lot about. As far as the oversight, and I see that, KBOO supports fundraising activities. I'm a huge part of creating those types of activities here in the community currently.
KBOO depends on its member contributions for most of its operating revenue. KBOO currently has about 4,000 members. As a board member, what steps would you recommend to increase membership?
I think just in short, technology is evolving. There's people, I've had a program now for about 3.5 years, and promoting that program, marketing it through social media, it's very hard to get people to actually listen to the programs. I just believe with technology evolving, it might be a good avenue to start having podcast style over things like Spotify as well. KBOO had its own Spotify channel, things of that sort.
KBOO has been a media outlet for committees of color in other marginalized communities. How can the KBOO board address issues of equity and inclusion in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities?
KBOO is doing a great job at this. Anybody who has an idea and is interested in creating something here, and they're able to create a format, and there is equity and inclusion in the programming, the outreach, the training, the hiring, and other activities. There's not much that I could suggest to KBOO to keep that, to build that. In my own life, to address these issues, though, I have definitely been an advocate in the recovery community, and that's a big, strong suit of mine, because what we do there directly translates what KBOO does for our community. I honestly think within 1 year, we revisit this in 1 year, I'm gonna have a lot more done. But as of now, I mean, there could be more on hands-on type, flyering in the community, or also like in maybe possibly Willamette Week or the Mercury, to community boards, like attending the board meeting, staying informed of these issues. It's, to me, I have a vision through the community here to create something bigger than myself. And the fact that KBOO is offering me to be a part of this board, it enhances what my knowledge of what the community is dealing with out here and what I can bring to the table. So attending those board meetings is exciting. Getting knowledgeable about what's going on in the infrastructure of KBOO is very exciting. Asking questions, learning about how this works is truly exciting to me. KBOO's interests come first. They gave back to me so freely, and I plan on giving back to KBOO just as freely as they gave to me. And the duty of obedience, people at concerts. I know it's a lot of waste of paper, but there may be those few people that reach out, that are interested in something like that.
KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. Can you commit this time?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you understand your role as a board member in relation to the three main duties? Duty of care, attend board meetings, stay informed of current issues, read reports, ask questions. Duty of loyalty, as a board member, put KBOO's interests first. Duty of obedience, follow KBOO's bylaws and policies, state and federal regulations, and decisions of the board. Could you commit to these duties?
Following law bylaws and policies and decisions of the board, of course. I'm a team player. I can commit to these duties, yes.
Thank you for participating in the forum, Thomas. KBOO Community Radio's annual membership meeting and board of director elections will be held Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, located at 1300 Southeast Stark. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio's Candidate Forum. I'm your host, Joyce Nance. To become a KBOO member and vote in the board of directors elections, go to kboo.fm/give to make a donation of $20 or more dollars. Okay, so let's get to our next candidate this evening, Michael Van Cleek. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing? How you doing,
I'm
Joyce?
great. Okay, question number one. Up to this point, how have you been involved with KBOO?
I've been a member of KBOO for, I don't know, 10 years, maybe more. When we would define member as somebody who's been donating and volunteering. I actually haven't done any formal volunteering at the station yet. It's always been something I've wanted to do. It's always been I was going to take the time and try to get a program and whatnot. But then I got in a conversation with Jill and got very excited about the possibility of going on the board. But I've been a longtime listener to KBOO, especially every Saturday at noon. But I listen throughout the week to all sorts of different music programming, all sorts of different political programming. And I've KBOO for me has always been synonymous with Portland. Like it is from the first time I came to Portland and heard about KBOO, I thought of KBOO as one of the pillars of this community.
What is your understanding and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KBOO Radio?
Yeah, so I did. I studied the Boo Beat Zine, so I could become more familiar with the 50-year history of KBOO. What I'm familiar with KBOO as is obviously always being there on 90.7 left side of the dial. I first became familiar with KBOO at the Blues Fest, which is kind of where I fell in love with Portland. And then throughout the years, I've learned about KBOO's mission. And while I can't quote the mission here right now, I can tell you that the mission has always, to me, seemed to be to create an inclusive community around music and politics. me, you know, my bias to KABU, my real entry in KABU has been with the music and all the varieties of musical programming I've felt at KABU. So I've always perceived KABU as being someone who's out there who's reaching out to various communities, the hip hop community, the dance community, the indigenous community, and centering the music of all these different communities and bringing that to light and doing it in a volunteer driven fashion. My understanding from when I first came here is that KABU was entirely a volunteer organization. And that to me was really inspiring. And every time I turned that on, every time I turned on KABU, I knew somebody was back there who had a heart for both what they were broadcasting and for Portland and for Oregon, I know we're in Corvallis and Hood River as well. So that's been kind of my understanding of KABU's mission and the part of the mission that I've really taken to heart.
Okay. What is your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit board of directors, advisory boards, or working committees?
I've been involved with a lot of different nonprofits and government, sort of government volunteer agencies and citizen boards. You might all remember that Oregon used to have a really prolific amount of community boards throughout the state. This was something in the early 2000s. So I was able to get involved with the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. I helped set up the Washington County Volunteer Center. That evolved. I spent about 10 years of work doing that. And then more recently, some of that work that's grown out of that is I've been in the advisory committee for Impact Northwest. Impact Northwest's mission is to keep people in housing, and their mission has been incredibly essential lately. I spent 3 years working for Mozilla, which is a nonprofit dedicated to protecting the internet and keeping software open. And I'm also involved with the Alumni Association from Stanford. I'm on the board of the Stanford Alumni of Oregon. So currently, like I said, I've served on multiple boards. I've had a range of experience from being a day-to-day member of a board all the way up to being a vice chair and chair of a couple different boards and a couple different working committees with those boards. So a lot of experience around nonprofits in those areas.
One responsibility of KABU's board of directors is to hire, oversee, and support the station manager. Do you have any experience in this?
I've never hired a station manager. I've never run a radio station, but I have been a manager and a leader in the business world for 20-something years. I've been hiring software engineers, both in my company and then when I've gone to work in other companies. Currently, I'm working as an engineering manager at Adobe. So I'm very familiar with the process of hiring people. My philosophy of hiring in general, same with nonprofit or business, is to find good people, lay out the work that needs to be done, and give them the tools to do their job and get out of their way. I'm very excited to be a part of the team that hires and helps manage the station manager and helps the station manager create a vibrant community around KABU.
KABU's board supports fundraising activities and is responsible for the financial oversight of the KABU Foundation. What is your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements?
Yeah, so I've been running my own company for almost 25 years now, doing DJ productions as well as software engineering. And so as a business owner, I'm very familiar with trying to keep a budget, trying to stay above board with that budget. But then from a larger perspective, when I was at Mozilla as the enterprise solutions architect, I had input into like a $10 million budget that I had to hold there for large projects, working with different contributors throughout the community. Mozilla is very interesting. I think it's kind of applicable to KABU because Mozilla was a volunteer driven organization with 500,000 volunteers around the world. And we had 2,000 staff that were running that with a total annual budget of $750 million. I can't begin to claim that I was responsible for running that $750 million budget, but I did have responsibility and oversight over a significant chunk of that budget. Obviously, when I was on the Washington County Commission on Children and Families, we had a budget that came from the state, and we had to manage that in a way that made sure we were making progress on goals that we had for the community within the constraints of the budget that we have. And I come from a fiscally I like to be very fiscally responsible. I like to make sure the budget is positive. I like to make sure that, you know, none of the organizations that I'm working with are taking on unnecessary debt, because that becomes an albatross. So also very familiar with, not sure if you've asked about fundraising yet, but we had to do a lot of fundraising, you know, for Impact Northwest. We're constantly doing fundraising. So we're having to reach out to the community to, you know, do grants. We're not as dependent on individual donors as KABU, but we're, you know, we have to reach out to organizational level donors.
So and Michael, let me ask you that. You're asking a question that I haven't asked yet. So let me ask.
Sorry. Thank you, Joyce.
Okay. KABU depends on member contributions for most of its operating revenue. KABU currently has 4,000 members, plus or minus. As a board member, what steps would you recommend to increase membership?
I'm a little worried when you say 4,000 plus or minus, because what was written on the questionnaire is 5,000 plus or minus. And I'm worried that that's symptomatic of a problem that we have of declining membership. Yeah. And I'm concerned, you know, the KABU, I'm concerned about where we are in terms of number of members and the community, the sense of ownership in the community, everybody in Portland feeling like KABU is something that they're a part of and something that they own, something they can contribute to. So obviously I think the number one thing we need to do is build new communities with volunteers in Portland and around the state. I think that KABU is at its best. You know, you look at the Saturday noontime Grateful Dead Hour, obviously that's my favorite hour of KABU. And I think that community, there's a huge youth community that's risen up around jam bands again that isn't even aware that KABU's there. So I think KABU needs to be, we need to find volunteers who are empowered to take that message to jam band shows, jam band gatherings, those people are, build that community, get them involved, get them feel like they're part of the community. Similarly, we need to do the same thing with like the dancing community and the BIPOC dance community. There's plenty of different places that we can get out there, like out at Tabor Dance, or we can be out at you know, any of the different community dance events that are happening, and get that associated with KABU. Make sure that, you know, the people who are DJing at these know that they have an opportunity to DJ at KABU and bring that community into KABU and make that part of the salad bowl or melting pot, whatever you want to call it, that it is KABU. We need to be reaching out into multiple different communities and creating that sense of ownership and longevity. And from that, then it's an easy step to get people to contribute financially to that. I mean, not an easy step, but once somebody feels that they're a part of that community and they value that community, they're going to do the things they need to do to maintain that community. I've been sad to find out since I've applied on the board, I've talked to people that I've known that have been in Portland for 10, 15, 20 years who are prominent in particular arts communities, and they don't even have any idea that KABU exists. And I think that we need to get back. We need to, you know, it's all volunteer driven, right? We need to get volunteers who are empowered, who feel like they own this, they own the KABU mission, and can take that to their communities and grow those communities organically and bring those communities into KABU.
KABU has been a media outlet for communities of color and other marginalized communities. How can the KABU board address issues of equity and inclusion in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities?
Yeah, I think, you know, it starts with the board making an example. I've been impressed so far by, you know, by the fact that, you know, it's a little thing, but I think it's a big thing that we want to lead with our pronouns, or make sure we're acknowledging communities across a range of, you know, a range of genders and preferences, that we're acknowledging that everybody has a right to exist and a right to be who they are. And I think that it is incumbent on the board to go out and reach in, you know, reach out through with a spirit of learning and a spirit of listening to find out what is it, how is it that communities that have traditionally been underserved, especially in Portland, in a, you know, a 90% white community, how do we find out what the needs are in those communities? How do we go out and listen to those communities, create programming that invites those communities, that that makes all the different communities feel like, you know, they have their spot in KABU, and then find ways to not only have that, we don't want silos between like these different communities. We want to find ways to mix those communities together, whether those, you know, some sort of community activities. I think it's important that we that we do this in person too. I think that, you know, we're still in the long recovery path from COVID and how it changed all our societal norms.
But what have you done in your own life to address these issues?
One thing I do in particular is when I hire, since I'm hiring engineers, I always make sure before I even begin interviews that we have solicited a diverse set of resumes and applicants before we even start interviewing for the roles. So that's something specifically I do. Same thing I do when I'm reviewing grant applications. I serve on a board for my employer where we do community grants. And before we even consider grants, we need to make sure that we have a diverse set of applicant across multiple intersectionalities, multiple axes, before we even begin consideration. And we have to make the effort. I'm a white male. It is incumbent on me to reach out to other communities. I'm in a community, like I visually identify as somebody who's been a part of, an oppressive majority. It's on me to go out and reach out to those communities that are underserved and underrepresented and make sure that they know that they're invited, that they're welcome, and that I want to listen to what you have to say.
KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. Can you commit to that?
I'm excited to do that. Yep, I'm excited to find various ways to be involved, whether it's in engineering, your programming, and certainly doing the work of the board, but that's the baseline that I've set for myself. I'm really excited to shed some of the other work I've been doing and focus on KBOO over the next several years.
How do you understand your role as a board member in relation to the three main duties? Duty of care, attend board meetings, stay informed of current issues, read reports, ask questions. Duty of loyalty, as a board member, put KBOO's interests first. Duty of obedience, follow KBOO's bylaws and policies, state and federal regulations, and decisions of the board.
Yeah, so I'm just learning what it means to be a board member. KBOO's always been prominent to me, and I'm looking forward to upholding KBOO and putting KBOO first in all the community activity that I do. I've read through the bylaws, and I'm excited to listen and learn more from the board. I think it's, as a board member, I'm excited about this possibility, but it's a serious duty, and I need to keep on top of, KBOO's got such a broad base of volunteers and programming. I've got to keep on top of everything that we're doing, what the issues are at the station, and I think the most important way to do that, you read all the things and look online and listen to the station, but most importantly is getting out there, meeting people, meeting the staff, meeting the volunteers, meeting the members, meeting the community where they are, and, listening. I'm going to do a lot of listening here for the next several months.
Thanks for joining us today, Michael Van Cleek.
Thanks, Joyce.
KBOO Community Radio's annual membership meeting and board of director elections will be held Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, located at 1300 Southeast Stark. KBOO is unique in that the board of directors is elected by its members. Every KBOO member gets to vote. Any KBOO member can apply to be on the board of directors. Online voting is now open at kboo.fm/board24. Online voting is open until the board elections on Saturday, September 21st. To request a paper ballot, you must contact KBOO. Call 503-231-8032 or email membership@kboo.org. You can mail your paper ballot or bring it to KBOO Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Paper ballots must be received at the station by Friday, September 20th at 5 p.m. Late ballots will not be counted. Candidate statements are posted on kboo.fm/board24. Election results will be announced at the annual meeting on Saturday, September 21st, 2024. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio's Candidate Forum. I'm your host, Joyce Nance. Next, we have Board of Directors candidate Ethan Scarl. Welcome, Ethan. Question number one, up to this point, how have you been involved with KBOO?
I have been a contributing supporter of KBOO for the 14 out of the last 18 years in which I was a resident of Portland. I volunteered for several years to work in the KBOO Evening News with Jenka Soderberg. Pulling stories off of the networks, editing soundtrack recordings, anchoring, and working with others and anchoring special presentations, typically about the machine counting of elections. I did make field recordings, one of which I edited into a submission to Alternative Radio, and which led to a series of alternative radio broadcasts. Well, for several years, I've been a member of the National Council of the Alliance for Democracy, and I've worked with issue study groups in the Multnomah County Democrats, and I briefly chaired a media study group there. I attended all but first of the several national conferences on media reform around the country, and I co-chaired a session on election integrity at the Minneapolis event. I organized several showings of documentaries in commercial theaters. I would occasionally support off-site activities and events that were organized by KBOO staff.
What is your understanding and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KBOO Community Radio?
KBOO has been a major channel for non-corporate news and perspective upon which depend our integrity, our wisdom, and ultimately our survival.
What is your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit boards of directors, advisory boards, or working committees?
Well, for several years, I've been a member of the National Council of the Alliance for Democracy, and I've worked with issue study groups in the Multnomah County Democrats, and I briefly chaired a media study group there. I attended all but first of the several national conferences on media reform around the country, and I co-chaired a session on election integrity at the Minneapolis event. I organized several showings of documentaries in commercial theaters.
One responsibility of KBOO's board of directors is to hire, oversee, and support the station manager. Do you have any experience in this?
My only related experience here may have been in interviewing faculty candidates while I was on faculty at Boston University.
KBOO's board supports fundraising activities and is responsible for the financial oversight of the KBOO Foundation. What is your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements?
It's rather limited. My work on the Alliance for Democracy's National Committee included reviewing and modifying budgets.
KBOO currently has about 4,000 members. As a board member, what steps would you recommend to increase membership?
For funding, I recently advocated the adoption of a personal sponsorship program, which has been a pleasantly painless way of raising a significant amount of money for another community radio station where I happen to be friends with the program manager. And I've had a bit of training in working with larger potential donors.
KBOO has been a media outlet for committees of color in other marginalized communities. How can the KBOO board address issues of equity and inclusion in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities?
I've not had direct experience in these matters, but I just came from the Multnomah County Platform Convention, where out of the 10 articles, major articles, three of them could be relevant. These are called equity, anti-blackness in Oregon, and tribal sovereignty.
What would you recommend to assist KBOO in becoming equitable and inclusive?
If KBOO staff or volunteers would like to make contact with these study groups, I may be able to help make that happen.
What have you done in your own life to address these issues?
I can only claim to have been enjoying the friendships across racial and gender lines.
KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. Can you commit to this time?
I understand this, and I will endeavor to honor it.
How do you understand your role as a board member in relation to the three main duties? Duty of care, attend board meetings, stay informed of current issues, read reports, ask questions. Duty of loyalty, as a board member, put KBOO's interests first. Duty of obedience, follow KBOO's bylaws and policies, state and federal regulations, and decisions of the board. Could you commit to these duties?
Yes, with the caveat that requirements of justice and fairness sometimes override written or unwritten rules. I view this as being highly unlikely, but such conflicts can be hard to predict.
Thank you for responding, Ethan. KBOO Community Radio's annual membership meeting and board of director elections will be held Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, located at 1300 Southeast Stark. KBOO is unique in that the board of directors is elected by its members. Every KBOO member gets to vote. Any KBOO member can apply to be on the board of directors. Online voting is now open at kboo.fm/board24. Online voting is open until the board elections on Saturday, September 21st. To request a paper ballot, you must contact KBOO. Call 503-231-8032 or email membership@kboo.org. You can mail your paper ballot or bring it to KBOO Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Paper ballots must be received at the station by Friday, September 20th at 5 p.m. Late ballots will not be counted. Candidate statements are posted on kboo.fm/board24. Election results will be announced at the annual meeting on Saturday, September 21st, 2024. KBOO Community Radio is proudly supported by our community of listeners. To become a KBOO member and vote in the Board of Directors elections, go to kboo.fm/give to make a donation of $20 or more dollars. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio's Candidate Forum. I'm your host, Joyce Nance. Our last candidate for the Board of Directors is Jill Blanchard. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks, Joyce.
All right, here are my questions for you. Up to this point, how have you been involved with KBOO?
I started volunteering with KBOO in 2016 when I joined the events work group. Eventually, I led the planning committee for the 50th birthday block party that took place in 2018. I also participated in two of KBOO's book and record sales as a member of the development committee. And while the development committee was largely quiet during the pandemic, we did host a film with a commentary by an online panel of the filmmakers.
Here's a follow-up question for you. What is your understanding and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KBOO Radio?
Most of my personal experience with KBOO's mission to be an independent, member-supported, non-commercial, volunteer-powered community radio station focuses on the volunteer-powered call-out. It is through KBOO's volunteers that we embody equitable social change and share knowledge. KBOO's volunteers also foster creativity by delivering news, music, and public affairs with a commitment to the voices of underserved communities.
Great. What is your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit board of directors, advisory boards, or working committees?
I was on the board of directors for Sisters of the Road for 6 years, and I am wrapping up my first term on the board of directors at KBOO Community Radio this September.
One responsibility of KBOO's board of directors is to hire, oversee, and support the station manager. Do you have any experience in this?
I participated on the hiring committee for KBOO's current station manager. I am a member of the board's executive committee that, among other things, provides guidance and support for the station manager.
KBOO's board supports fundraising activities and is responsible for the financial oversight of the KBOO Foundation. What is your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements?
I have significant experience reviewing and planning budgets and financial statements in both nonprofit and for-profit organizations. Financial oversight at the KBOO Foundation is at the core of every director's responsibility.
KBOO depends on member contributions for most of its operating revenue. KBOO currently has 4,000 members, plus or minus. As a board member, what steps would you recommend to increase membership?
Well, we have two demographics, really, that we're looking at that we need to increase membership for, and one is a younger group of folks. And I think that if we could increase our social media presence, including the use of YouTube and TikTok and everything that we have at our hands, at our fingertips, on our phones and at our laptops, then we will reach a younger group of folks than we currently have been reaching in recent past. And before the pandemic, though, KBOO spent more time at events of all sizes throughout Portland. I mean, I used to see KBOO bumper stickers at least once, twice an outing to the grocery store. So I knew KBOO was out there in the community. So while we can reach some new members seeking them online, in-person events and experiences help members understand what KBOO Community Radio is all about.
Okay, KBOO has been a media outlet for communities of color and other marginalized communities. How can the KBOO board address issues of equity and inclusion in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities?
The board can specifically address issues of justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, and belonging through its recruiting processes. It is important to identify and reach communities whose voices can be amplified by KBOO's airwaves.
What would you recommend to assist KBOO in becoming equitable and inclusive?
The board can use organizations like Partners in Diversity and the Nonprofit Association of Oregon when seeking new members. The board can also recruit through specific KBOO programming and identify ways to reach more BIPOC communities.
What have you done in your own life to address these issues?
I surround myself with people from as many communities as possible. That is how I found Sisters of the Road. This is how I found KBOO Community Radio. Working alongside people with different backgrounds and perspectives makes me more well-rounded and more open to new ideas. Working to support KBOO in its mission to amplify the voices of underserved communities is a privilege.
KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. Can you commit this time?
I can commit 15 or more hours a month serving as a director for KBOO.
How do you understand your role as a board member in relation to the three main duties? Duty of care. Attend board meetings, stay informed of current issues, read reports, ask questions. Duty of loyalty. As a board member, put KBOO's interests first. Duty of obedience, follow KBOO's bylaws and policies, state and federal regulations, and decisions of the board. Could you commit to these duties?
I can commit to these duties. My role as a KBOO director ensures that I will be informed as to the business and finances, and also to participate in the decision-making for the KBOO Foundation. I will put the interests of the foundation first while I follow KBOO's bylaws and policies, in addition to state and federal regulations and the decisions of the boards of directors. So yes, I can commit to these duties.
Thank you for your responses, Jill. KABU is unique in that the board of directors is elected by its members. Every KABU member gets to vote. Any KABU member can apply to be on the board of directors. Online voting is now open at kboo.fm/board24. Online voting is open until the board elections on Saturday, September 21st. To request a paper ballot, you must contact KABU. Call 503-231-8032 or email membership@kabu.org. You can mail your paper ballot or bring it to KABU Community Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Paper ballots must be received at the station by Friday, September 20th at 5 p.m. Late ballots will not be counted. Candidate statements are posted on kboo.fm/board24. Election results will be announced at the annual meeting on Saturday, September 21st, 2024. KABU Community Radio is proudly supported by our community of listeners. To become a KABU member and vote in the Board of Directors elections, go to kabu.fm/give to make a donation of $20 or more dollars. KABU Community Radio's annual membership meeting and board of director elections will be held Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, located at 1300 Southeast Stark. You've been listening to KBOO Community Radio's Board Candidate Forum. I've been your host, Joyce Nance. Thank you for listening to KBOO Community Radio.
Listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listener-supported community radio.
Rise and shine, because it's time to wake up the neighborhood here at KABU. When you help support KABU now between September 21st, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $11,000. Just go to kboo.fm/give and become a member of grassroots community radio that you've grown to know and love.
Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. I was in Greenland early this year and traveled north to south along the western coast from Baffin Strait to the Atlantic Ocean, visiting the four major coastal towns of Ilulissat, Sisimiut, Nuuk, and Narsaq-Nassaswak. We traveled by coastal ferry and by internal air at low altitude to see what is called ice melt. The dissolution of the glaciers that cover most of Greenland was dramatically visible. As one of my traveling companions observed, it was like looking back in time, suggesting a glacial melt and retreat in other periods of global warming, beautiful, foreboding, and stark evidence of the source and volume of meltwater, sea level rise, and temperature increase, now observable and measurable, serious consequence for a future that arrives inexorably every day. There are additional consequences that have become apparent to me. The first is research studies that reveal that rapid loss of sea ice exposes the sea to the atmosphere, increasing take-up of CO2 at a faster rate than elsewhere, and contributing to amplified acidification of ocean water, circulated by natural currents that distribute the consequence worldwide. Given the enormous volume of the ocean, perhaps this seems insignificant. But studies released by the Polar and Marine Research Institute indicate that the amplification measured between 1994 and 2020 indicates a change of 3 to 4 times that of other ocean basins. This change will add to the already critical ocean acidification challenges, with increased saturation and negative impact on ocean species, especially plants and coral reefs. We have reached the point when incremental change is critical change, and without compensating action to reverse or reduce the CO2 emissions into the atmosphere, we have done nothing but accelerate the problem. A second consequence pertains to the sediment output of the meltwater flows. The release of cobbles and pebbles and grains of silt previously frozen into the ice, now descending from the glacial face into ice flows, open streams, into the coastal deltas and the open ocean. This phenomenon was dramatically visible from the air. Greenland has long been a focal point for potential mineral extraction, especially rare earth metals such as uranium, gold, and zinc. Some of the identified sites are in some of the most beautiful and biodiverse areas in the world. Narsaq, the town adjacent to the Kujata World Heritage Site, is downwind and downstream from a proposed uranium mine and has generated local and national opposition because of air quality and water quality issues. Impact on tourism, social consequence of imported workers, and financial consequences of royalty payments and exported profits. The argument revolves around revenue and independence, just as it does with proposed deep-sea mining projects adjacent to small island nations in the Pacific. There is a different option suggested by the research study, as published in a 2019 issue of Nature Sustainability, the taking from the newly revealed coastal sediment deposits of sand and gravel, not rare earth metals, but nevertheless a necessary element in basic road construction and infrastructure rebuilding in critical demand worldwide. Located in the nearshore zone, available in concentrated volume, to be mined and pumped by pipeline to offshore dry bulk carriers by local employees, and traded by Greenland for revenues perhaps comparable with less environmental consequence and more equitable social value. There are always related problems, of course, specifically to fisheries and tourism, the other two major sources of Greenland's financial security. The residues from extraction affecting adjacent fishing grounds, for example, or the industrialization of an otherwise wild Arctic coast. We have here again another one of those offsetting choices to do or to don't. Greenland, by its geolocation, is a place that has built a community of self-reliance, resilience, and independence. The Inuit population has escaped the worst of colonization, retaining generational strength, its language, and its cultural traditions. Denmark provides a large percentage of the annual budget, but there is a separate constitution and legislature. Young people typically are educated abroad, and many return and are now emerging in leadership positions in government and management. But still, it is a unique place apart. There are no roads connecting the towns. Subsistence has been reliant on hunting and fishing, travel by dog sleds or small boats. No country, few other people on Earth, are dealing with the impact of global warming, glacial melt, and sea level rise as directly. There, the implications are facts. The future we envision is now. I felt great hope there, confidence in the people to meet, adapt, and invent a future built on history, values, and community. We could learn so much from our past mistakes, so much from Greenland. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
This is Bird Note. American goldfinches are one of our most familiar birds, a sunshine sparkle of yellow at the seed feeder. But these little beauties lead lives that are anything but ordinary. Unlike birds that nest in spring, American goldfinches delay breeding until the summer, leaving many pairs with just enough time to raise a single brood. But some goldfinches manage to pull off a second nesting. The female leaves her first set of chicks in the care of her mate, then quickly mates with another male to raise a second brood in a new nest. Goldfinches also have a secret weapon against cowbirds, which lay their eggs in other birds' nests. Goldfinches feed their young almost 100% vegetable matter. That doesn't supply the proteins that the more omnivorous cowbirds need to thrive, so the parasitic nestlings don't survive. Even the vocal abilities of goldfinches are something special. They appear to recognize the flight calls of different individual goldfinches, which to our ears sound the same. And when a female and male pair up, they learn to make identical flight calls, cementing their identity as a mated pair. Backyard birds they may be, but American goldfinches never cease to amaze. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. BirdNotes newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
This is BirdNote. Let's talk about nests. Every spring, robins build their cup-shaped nests using grass and mud. Orioles weave a hanging sac. It takes a week or two. It's hard work, and yet, once the chicks fledge, mostly the structures won't be reused. Cliff swallows, on the other hand, will often reuse nests. They'll spend a week plastering their mud structure on a sheer cliff face. Use it, and the next year, unless parasites have moved in before them, fix it up and they're good to go. Bigger birds, herons, hawks, or eagles, often reuse a nest for many years. One bald eagle pair in Vermilion, Ohio, reused the same nest for 34 years, adding branches each year until it weighed more than 2 tons. But Europe's migratory white storks get the award for best reuse. One nest site, still used in 1930, and likely seeing many repairs over the years, dated back to 1549. That's a continuous series of stork pairs nesting in one spot for 381 years. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, listener-supported community radio. Stay tuned for Shocks of Sheba, up next after these headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.